Well, as we know, talks have been continuing this morning among senior negotiators from the UK and the EU. There was an effective deadline of 10 o'clock Irish time. That's just about 4 minutes or so ago. For the latest, I'm joined by Seana Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, and we'll talk presently to the former Taoiseach and EU ambassador to the United States, John Bruton. But first, Seana, in Brussels, you're a correspondent, as I say, with Europe, with Euronews. What is the latest on those talks?
Well, they only resumed about 2 hours ago, so and then they'd been in lockdown. And then the idea was that around 2 o'clock, Michel Barnier would brief the ambassadors of all the rest of the EU 27 to say whether or not a deal had materialised to put to the member states that they could then sign off on at the summit tomorrow evening, or not, or decided they would discuss technical extension and then continue on with the summit and the vast array of other issues that the EU needs to consider over the next while. As far as I know, they're in lockdown. Late last night, they were still really discussing how they would manage to square the circle, as we know, of treating Ireland as an all-Ireland customs territory, but having Northern Ireland in the UK's customs territory on a legal basis, and that was where it was at. I think what happened yesterday was also very interesting, in that Michel Barnier's intervention in Luxembourg at the General Affairs Council was quite significant, because he had that sort of burst of optimism that a deal could be done. And we know he's a man who's normally quite circumspect. And as from speaking to sources, that sort of emerged because only yesterday morning the UK then accepted that they couldn't be a customs border on the island of Ireland, but at the same time Northern Ireland would be part of the customs territory of the UK. So that once the UK accepted that, then they knew that they could get a deal together. And also, I'd add that a lot of the EU sources I'm speaking to as well are mainly concerned that Boris Johnson can't get this across at the House of Commons, or the DUP on board, and some of the more extremists in the ERG. So that obviously tells you that the UK has to have moved somewhat.
Yes, I note that David Davis, who resigned from Cabinet, he's a former Brexit secretary, as we know, was on the Today show on Radio 4 over there, and talking about how the deal would allow Britain to maintain access to the EU market under a Canada-minus trade deal, and that would unlock the spectacular benefits of free trade deals. So I suppose you've got to say that at least some of those people who are in the ERG camp are being won over by Boris Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, the UK, the moves have been towards a more Northern Ireland specific arrangement, and that would cut Northern Ireland a further away from the UK, especially if you contrast that to the UK-wide backstop that Theresa May had agreed. And a lot of it is also because there are fears within the other member states that, if the UK diverges, as Boris Johnson has said he would like to diverge when it comes to regulations and customs, doing deals with China, with the United States, then they would be concerned if it was a UK-wide sort of a solution, that would jeopardise the integrity of the single market, because it would be very, very difficult to protect the single market if you had goods flowing into Northern Ireland, and checking them being very difficult without the aforementioned customs checks on the island of Ireland. So if the UK, and as David Davis had said there, there's going to be Canada minus trade deal, then it's bare bones trade, then you really can't have a UK-wide solution. You really need to separate Northern Ireland, because that would make it a little bit less cumbersome. And I think the other point is that, in general, managing a sea border is much less difficult than managing a land border anyway.
Yeah, John Bruton, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you reading the situation? Clearly, Boris Johnson has a difficult balancing act to do, to try to cede enough ground to keep the European Union happy, but at the same time not find himself abandoned by the ERG and the DUP.
Well, the momentum seems to be in the right direction, and the fact that the proposals have been kept confidential, as I think, is a very good thing. However, the European Union is going to have to be satisfied that any value-added tax, which is what keeps the EU going, is properly collected, that tariffs, if they have to be imposed, and it's likely that they will, particularly on agricultural products, once Britain has left the European Union, that the tariffs are collected and paid over. And there will be a question as well about the EU customs code. Remember, the EU customs code was agreed in 1992, and without that there wouldn't have been an EU single market in 1993, and without that there wouldn't have been a Good Friday Agreement in 1998. So the whole thing is built on that foundation of an EU customs code, will that have to be amended, and how long will that take? These are questions that have to be looked at.
Yeah, and do you believe that if the whatever emerges by way of a new deal will effectively be a different version of the old Northern Ireland only backstop, or if it's not that, will it be a variation of what Boris Johnson put forward last week, the so-called joint customs partnership?
I think it'll be some sort of a combination of a Northern Ireland only backstop and the original elements of the Chequers proposals that Theresa May put forward, and on the basis of which Boris Johnson actually resigned from Theresa May's government. So obviously this is going to be a difficult sell for some people, and obviously, you know, what people said in the past will be produced and compared to what they're saying now.
Yes, but as we saw from Jacob Rees-Mogg, now leader of the Commons, at the weekend, he's quite prepared and you know, quite open and upfront about it to eat his own words.
Yes, and indeed in politics, if you're a serious politician, as I think from somebody who's posturing, sometimes you do have to change your mind, or you have to acknowledge that the political forces exist that don't allow you to adhere to your previous position. I think that's not to be criticised.
Yes, and coming back to you in Brussels, Seán Murray, a lot of speculation as well that the DUP, if they are to move further on the whole question of a border down the Irish Sea, which they have, you know, sworn against in the past, they will extract a very high price in terms of a multi-billion dollar deal for Northern Ireland. Now, suggestions as well that the European Union might be pitching into the pot there.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that speculation, and it not normally is something that the EU does, because you know, the budgetary system for the EU is over a 7-year period, and I hadn't actually heard that was part of the mix. Put some funding towards the UK and Ireland to make you know, a little bit more palatable for the DUP. But at the same time, when you speak to other sources, like British sources, that's not really what they're saying, because I think their position is that really they want to sell this deal as maintaining the constitutional order of the United Kingdom, and that they wouldn't be, you know, sold per se. So that's not really something I can confirm at this point. It doesn't mean it wouldn't. I mean, I think part of the sale of all this would also be that no matter what, Northern Ireland will be looked after, in that it will have advantages that nowhere else in the EU will have. It will have access to the EU single market, customs union, and also the trade deals that the UK manages to do around the world, and possibly lower taxes or lower tariffs on any of the free trade agreements that the UK manages to conclude. And that would be the sort of advantages for Northern Ireland if that is signed off.
And John Bruton, would you have any concerns at all about the question as to whether there will be a unanimity, as is required, from the other 27 EU member states for whatever may emerge in the course of today, if indeed it does emerge? Suggestions, for instance, that there are French concerns over the level playing field provisions when it comes to a future trade relationship.
Yes, the fact that Boris Johnson asked to have the level playing field provisions removed from the existing agreement is very ominous, because it suggests it's going to be very difficult to make a trade deal between the UK and the EU if the UK is determined to undercut the EU by adopting less exacting standards on the environment, on product standards, and on social standards. And the European Union is not going to tolerate that, really. So this could be a very difficult negotiation. We haven't got to that negotiation yet, but it's a pretty bad sign that Boris Johnson has singled out this as something he wants to remove. Well, perhaps that's going to be remedied. If it is, it would be very good, because a race to the bottom between the EU and the UK would, I think, be very bad for the world, if we particularly want to deal with climate change. If we're going to be undercutting ourselves in this way, we'd be less able to do something and lead the world on climate change.
Yes, and
yeah, I think that's right, actually. And in particular, the two countries that, I mean, all member states will have a problem with that. And the Commission itself will have a problem, because, of course, the Commission's position, while it's negotiating, on behalf of Ireland, it's also negotiating with the rest of the EU to ensure that the EU's internal market is fully protected. And it's precisely why Boris Johnson's original idea of a customs partnership was essentially thrown out, because, of course, how could you protect a single market when there's goods going into Northern Ireland that could have been bought through a free trade agreement with China, steel, for example, or the United States? And then it's very difficult to then give that rebate back, or it makes things so much more cumbersome, particularly when you have loads of different types of goods and different free trade agreements taking place. And that's just one element of it, as John has said there as well. It's to do with the environment and the geopolitical implications of Britain being so close to the EU.
We should not forget that the European Commission is the guardian of the treaties. The member states have less responsibility for making sure that the treaties are respected in every detail. So, in fact, the difficulty could be with the European Commission rather than with any member state.
Yeah, I'm just looking, and I'd like to get a last word from each of you on this one, at Laura Koonsberg, the BBC's political editor's Twitter feed. She's saying that, and this is just in the last hour or so, government sources are indicating this morning, that's in London obviously, chances of a deal this week are now shrinking. This, of course, partly because room for manoeuvre is limited by the DUP and Brexiteers, even though many of them are reluctantly on board. Do you want to call it, John Bruton?
Well, I think we might get a deal in terms of a political understanding between the UK and the EU, but actually putting down on paper and ratifying the detailed legal terms of a withdrawal agreement, it's very hard to see that being possible to be done before the 31st of October. So there will have to be some extension to allow the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed, legally speaking. And this legal agreement must endure for the next 40 or 50 years. So taking an extra 40 or 50 hours or days to get it right would be prudent.
And another summit maybe towards the end of the month?
Or even next month.
Okay. And Shona?
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with all that. Like, as I said, people had said to me last night that the UK was recognising that this solution had to be a Northern Ireland-specific remedy, which will cause huge problems for the DUP and some of the members of the ERG. And I don't think Boris Johnson wants to take this deal to Saturday unless he has the numbers in place, because it will be quite another negative element to his premiership. But also, I mean, we're also reaching the last throw of the dice when it comes to Brexit as well. You know, most member states, the Commission, are getting tired. And if you look at the deal that possibly, in the realms of what we're looking at, which is the objectives of the Northern Ireland backstop, it's the same thing that, more or less, that Theresa May was trying to deliver. So they're not really going to be able to change anything. So really, this is within the next month, the last chance. And But as John had said there, if a deal isn't complete by the next few hours, then it could take till the end of the month.
Yes. Okay. Look, my thanks to you both. Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, and John Bruton, former Taoiseach, former EU ambassador to the United States. Thank you both. I suppose we'll have a pretty good idea by mid-afternoon when the chief negotiator, Michel Barnier, is due to brief EU ambassadors. Right now, though, we'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.